And I want to read probably one of the most, well, not the most familiar verses, but a familiar verse. I quote it a lot. I preach from it. But God has set it in order this morning in the service. Of course, He'd already set it in order in my heart, but yet I think I got my name honest, Doubting Thomas. In verse 6 of Philippians 1, being confident of this very thing. What's the very thing? Here it is. That He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to preach today, and Lord willing, I'm only going to give you one thought in this message. He's still working on me. Now, as far as Paul's epistles, this is one of my favorites, the book of Philippians, because just like Thessalonians, they were a good church. They were birthed out of adversity. As a matter of fact, Paul was preaching, and of course we understand in Acts 16 that a woman got saved and they got mad, and he was thrown in prison. Him and Silas was beaten and thrown in prison. At midnight they began to sing and rejoice, and the Bible said the fetters fell off the prisoners and the prison doors come open, and the jailer, he heard the commotion, and he came in and he called for a light. And he had drew his sword that he was about to kill himself, because if you allowed one prisoner to escape as a jailer, as a guard, they would kill you. So he was going to go ahead. He figured the fetters fell off, the doors open, everybody was gone. And so he was about to kill himself, and Paul spoke up, hey, do thyself no harm. We all still here. And he fell on his knees and said, "What, sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the name of the only begotten Son, thou shalt be saved." And he did that, him and his whole house. And that same night and that same morning, that same man that was ordering the beatings was binding their wounds and cooking them breakfast. And what a time, what a change the Lord can make in your life. The old song, what a change He's wrought in my life since Jesus came into my heart. And so the Philippians, the church of Philippi, we see its birth. It came through beatings and stripes and imprisonments. But God moved. And I believe with all my heart. You say, preacher, you can't prove it. You can't disprove it. You tell me a criminal that's in there for life for many years, and the fetters fall off of him, the doors come open, and it's dark. You tell me he's not going to run away. He's not going to run away if God changed his life in there. We all still hear God done a work. And so in this text, we find the Philippians, and Paul called them in chapter 4, I think it is, that they were his joy and his crown. In other words, he led them to Christ. He had to do it through pain. We're not going to do anything if it causes any pain, are we? Paul, he preached the gospel to them after they beat him within an inch of his life. And he shared the love of Christ with them and began to sing at midnight and pray and praise God. And God showed up that day, and the power of God showed up that day, and many got saved. Folks, we'll never see anybody saved unless the power of God shows up. Unless we have the power of God in our lives. And preacher, how can I have that? It takes a salvation. It takes a clean living, a separation. It takes a constant relationship with God to have the power of God in our life. And we can't just work it up. Now, we can work up emotions, and we can work up a shout, but folks, I'm talking about the power of God cannot be worked up. Amen. Amen. The power of God is the power of God. It can't be fooled. And we need the power of God in our... I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to tell you something. The Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit long before the charismatic movement ever came. Right. Amen. Amen. Hey, they talk about, well, here's an evidence of being filled with the Spirit. That's an evidence of being filled with the Spirit. No, it's not. The evidence of being filled with the Spirit, Paul talked about those nine things. Right. The nine fruits of the Spirit. Right. Or the fruit of the Spirit that's got nine fruit on it. Amen. That's evidence of being filled with the Spirit. It's not how loud you shout. And I like shouting. It's not about how beautiful the song is that stirs our... Oh, it's being close to God. And so he called them his joy and crown, and he settled it here. He greets these believers with prayer and thanksgiving. He said in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. When God changed their life, they became a blessing to God's man, and that church was birthed. What a blessing that is. Verse 6, Paul shares with them the good news that God is still working on them. Isn't that a blessing to hear? He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Christ. Folks, he's still working on us. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun, the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving, patient he must be, because he's still working on me. And I'm thankful God is still working. And folks, I'm saying, if you're born again, if you have a biblical testimony of your salvation, he is still working on you. He is not finished with you. Don't allow a past mistake to keep you from letting God work on you. Get it right and repent. Amen. And God will still work on you. The old saying goes, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I used to be. But I'm not what I'm going to be. Amen. We're just mere clay in the hands of the potter. The Lord used that analogy with Israel. I believe it's in the book of Jeremiah where he was molding them. And they would rebel, and he used the analogy how they were marred in his hand. But you know what? He didn't throw that clay away. He began to mold it again. They didn't cease to be the apple of his eye. They didn't lose anything, but they lost fellowship, and God would have to correct them and how he would mold them a picture of God chastening to get them where they need to be. We can use that analogy in our own Christian life. I'm glad I'm in the potter's hands. I'm in God's hand. I'm in his hand. Jesus told his father, I ain't lost one. Hello. I hadn't lost one. Amen. How in the world can you be in the Father's hand, in the Son's hand, and sealed by the Holy Ghost and get lost again? But I'm marred. Sometimes I get marred, and I'm glad he don't throw me away. He begins to mold me again. Hey, failure's not final unless you quit. Listen to that. Failure's not final unless you quit. You don't quit, it's not final. Well, I might as well quit because they're going to talk about me. They was talking about you before you failed, God. You're not going to stand before them anyway. You're going to stand before the Lord. Now I want to notice one thought. And it's along the lines of what they were singing today and how God used that to stir our hearts. I want to talk about the confidence of the saints examined. Now, folks, three things and I'm finished. And that one thought, three things that I'm finished. Number one, we see our confidence is profound. Paul uses a strong word to describe the hope that he has in Christ. He used that word confident. You know, the flesh can use the word confident in a negative way. Because the Bible said put no confidence in our flesh. But see, this verse is not putting confidence in the flesh. He's putting confidence in what Jesus did. Amen. Oh yeah, I don't have much confidence in Tommy. But I have all the confidence in him. Amen. That word means to persuade, to convince beyond all doubt. What Paul is saying here is he was persuaded beyond all doubt that he was eternally saved. Paul wants every Christian to have absolute assurance that they are eternally born again. God wants you to know it. The Lord wants you to know you're saved. Now, again, I'm going to go to the book of 1 John. Now, the book of 1 John, to me, could be called the book of K-N-O-W, the book of no, the book of assurance. And in 1 John, it will settle us on whether we have it or we don't have it. Now you remember this. I had this written down and wrote down this morning. God just brought it back to my memory. 1 Corinthians 14:33. Paul told a carnal church, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the church of the saints. Now get this. God's not the author of confusion. He's the author of peace. So we understand there is an author There is an originator of confusion, and it's not God. Well, who is it? Well, duh. It's the devil. Satan is the author of confusion. God doesn't want us confused. Now, he wants us to understand, and he understands sometimes that the process of understanding, trying the spirits, know whether they're of God or not, that's not confusion, that's patience waiting on God to give us a word about if something's right or not. Amen. Confusion is, well, I just don't know. God don't want you to say, I just don't know about my salvation. He wants you to have the peace which he authors in us. They may be errors in our life that we don't have peace in, but when it comes to my soul and my salvation, I have perfect peace about it. Because you need to remember, the only thing you can do is do what God's Word tells you. It is the final authority. Quit trying to put stipulations and quit trying to put question marks where God's put a period. Believe the Word. Believe the gospel. Believe you're a sinner. Believe God loves you enough to send his son. And believe he took your sin on the cross and died in your place and was buried and rose again the third day. Believe he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe the gospel. Believe the word of God and get God give you peace about where you spend in eternity. Amen. Confident. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hey, get that. You believe on the name of the Son of God, you can know it. I like this. You can know you're saved. Get this. When you have believed in upon Christ. Chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, pray for me, the devil's messing with my tongue. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that he is begotten of him. So then we see in chapter 4, verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. You say, preacher, that you're making that too simple. Oh, yeah, exactly what I'm doing. God's not the author of confusion. How in the world can God keep us from getting confused about our salvation? Just tell us plain. He's just telling us plain in chapter 2, verse number 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. What do you mean keepeth his word? We keep his word. That means living perfect? No, it's knowing it's God's word. It's not renewed. Hey, you know what? I don't keep his word all the time. In other words, I don't obey it all the time. But I know it's the word. I know, and you know what? I'll stand saying, this is God's word. You know what? It may go against my lifestyle sometimes, but he's right and I'm wrong. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. Chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. For if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. Hey, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, you say, preacher, there it is again. We got to live perfect. No, that's not what he's saying. Walk is a picture of a constant movement or a lifestyle. See, a lot of people say I'm saved, but their lifestyle goes against that. Their lifestyle goes against it. You know, it's amazing to me. Everybody loves love. So now every perverted sin that God points out as being perverted and ungodly and an abomination, now we sugarcoat it with just keep your mouth shut and love. You know what? keeping our mouth shut and just saying love is not loving sinners. Speaking the truth in love is loving sinners. Well, just don't say nothing. Just don't, just preach love, preacher. Hey, God loves sinners. He loves sinners enough to put the truth in His Word and to call men of God to preach His Word in truth and love, not arrogance, not trying to beat you down, but tell you, I'm glad that the preacher stood back, had a leather lung one day. I mean, folks, high blood pressure, biscuit eating, gravy sopping, I'm talking about, hey, red face, and preach the gospel to me. Let me know, because He loved me. That's our problem. I don't want to offend. Or if you give them truth, oh my word, you don't love them. Folks, I said this the other day. What kind of doctor would a doctor be if you go in, you have a terminal illness, and he tells you, I love you, it's going to be all right, and then dismisses you? Well, that ain't much proof he loves me. He never mentioned my problem. He never even told me I was sick. He never even told me there was a treatment. And didn't tell me, you know what, if I turn from that and turn to His treatment and allow Him to administer it, that I'd be healed. Oh, He don't love me. That's what they want preachers to do. That's what the world wants to preach. That's what some Baptists want. At least they hear. Yeah, I'm glad they hear. Let's give them the truth while they're here. Well, if you preach against that, they won't come back. So I'm just going to pat them on the head, not mention nothing. Let them go out. You know what? They might like me for that, but God won't. I'll gain some worldly popularity. Yeah, we'll populate in here. But God won't like it. God won't agree with it. And I've come to terms. If I got to choose, if I'm going to make you mad or him mad, it's you every time. Amen. The truth in love. Folks, you have no desire. You hear me? Brother Jack, there have been times I've missed the mark. That's what sin means, missing the mark. God's standard. But never did the desire to hit the mark ever left me. Are you listening? And when I miss the mark, the Spirit of God that lives within me is grieved. And I can't be happy about missing the mark. I cannot celebrate sin in my life. I can't be at peace with sin in my life. If you can be, you're lost. If you can have a lifestyle, you say, well, preacher, I don't go out and do what others do. But there are sins of commission and omission. Commission is you committing things that God said don't do. Omission, you're leaving out things God said do. Amen. So, some people hang around the cult. Well, I don't commit that, and I don't do that, I don't do that. But what are you leaving out? No desire for church. No desire to be a witness. No desire to serve God. No desire. No care. And I promise you, if you're looking for an excuse not to be right, not to be faithful, there's plenty of them. But the Lord had plenty of reasons and excuses that He didn't have to go to the cross either to take your sin and pay the debt. But He did. I hope I tell this right. I mentioned Fossey's Book of Martyrs in one of my sermons Wednesday or Sunday. I think it was Wednesday. Wednesday was a long time ago. You wouldn't believe what all happened since Wednesday. But there's a fellow in there, I think his name was John Philpott. And they was fixing to burn him at the stake for preaching Christ and being a witness for Christ. And they said this to him: if you will just simply denounce Christ, if you would just simply denounce him, we'll set you free. And he said something of this nature: how should I disdain to suffer at this stake when my Savior didn't disdain to suffer the vilest of deaths for me? The Word of God wants me to know. The whole year I was under conviction, the whole year the Spirit of God was dealing with me about getting saved, the devil kept bringing confusion. And he brought up my time in church. Raised in church. You went to an altar. But I didn't do nothing when I got there. Are you listening? And you sing and you this and you that. You all right? And I battled that confusion and conviction for 1 year. One whole year I battled it. Until the day God woke me up in the middle of the night and said, it's now or never. And I felt like Jacob. I wrestled with God all night. Literally. All night long. I wrestled with God. And I'm thankful by daybreak he broke me. Amen. Spiritually, I came out limping. See, Jacob. Did I say Joseph? Jacob never forgot when God touched him. And when God deals with you, you'll never forget it. When God reveals your need for salvation, you get saved, you'll never forget it. Never forget it. I watch a clip a lot and my eyes water up and they're questioning this older lady with Alzheimer's. And they said, do you know their name, one of their cells, their children? She said, no. They'll name one of her children. She said, no. Some of y'all have watched that. She'll say, what about Jesus? She said, oh, I know him. He's the one that saved my soul. Amen. Well, how does she remember that? Because it didn't happen here. It happened here. Did anything ever happen to you here? Here. Folks, when I say salvation is easy, I'm not preaching what's called easy believism. 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Now, salvation is easy because the work was done. But salvation has to be brought on by hearing the gospel, being touched by the Spirit, and turning to God in repentance and faith in Christ, and calling on him. Have you ever had the Spirit of God awaken your conscience to the fact that you've never truly trusted Christ? See, that's how I can sing, I know how it feels. For the blessed day that it happened. The Lord wants you to know today. He wants you to know that you are or that you are not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've said about it up to this point. As a kid, I don't know how many times before I got saved, I stood up and thanked God for saving me. But I wasn't saved. So don't let the devil, because that's what I kept saying. That's what I kept saying. You know, I've done this and I've done that. And I told people I was saved. Got baptized. I wasn't saved. See, the devil is going to bring people under such confusion in the last days. When God turns them away, it's going to blow their mind. Preacher, what do you mean? Many are going to say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in thy name cast out devils, in thy name be many wonderful works? The devil had them so confused in their mind that they were okay because of what they were doing, how they were living. They never even considered a personal relationship with Christ. I'm saying this today in a time where confusion is on top of the charts. Gender confusion. I'm not confused about that. But gender confusion. And I'm not casting stones at those that are, because this, the devil's the, he's behind. I hate the devil. He's doing that. He's confusing the mind of the lost. And then you have church now, you have preachers now that's going to let them live in that confusion because he don't want to offend them, get voted out of the church, get ostracized, his kids not be accepted. Hey! At the judgment seat of Christ, none of that will matter. Speak it truth. Confusion is up here. The devil's running that. And the Lord said in the book of Philippians, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, they'll remain in darkness. Who is supposed to be shining the gospel light? Us that are saved. But no, we worried about offending somebody. We used to worry about offending them. We begin to congratulate them. We're congratulating sin now. We need to be shining the gospel light. Well, I do it in how I love them and how... What are you telling them? Embracing them. They're confused about what you're doing. Got a young man deliver stuff to me. He's delivered it twice. He's a transgender. Preacher, what do? You run him off? You mean to him? Absolutely not. But I give him the gospel Friday. Now, I'm not making this about me at all. I invited him to church. See, that's how much we'll love him. Hey, you need Jesus just like any other sinner does. And God can change your life. But are you sure? Do you know? Nail it down. Let's all stand. Miss Lisa's coming. Church, I know I've been.